being a part of this service. Thank you for that anointed time of worship. Heard somebody in the back just say, you know, one thing I'm glad to do is just be able to worship together. Amen. And so as we think about today's message, I just want you to think that, well, first of all, let me say that it's a good thing that we're not live streaming, because I had an event yesterday, and I don't know, anybody that knows NFL football, there's a thing called concussion protocol. Well, so I was doing a fatherly thing, helping my son and my wife, and my sister-in-law take some things to the dump, and things got, you know, rather large load, and so we used bungee straps. We had one thing left to add to the load. Had all the straps over top and around. I said, well, I'll just take this one more strap, and I'll put it across the back here. I took that one strap, and I placed it in between the other two hooks, and I began to pull. And as I pulled, one of the original straps was pulled to the end, and it came undone. And I don't know, I thought I got hit by Mike Tyson yesterday. That thing hit me on the side of the head, not here or here, but right here. And my son did he was very caring, and he was laughing hilariously, but in a caring way, a very caring way. He was caring as he was laughing. So if I stumble, if I kind of pass, if I blank out, it's because I'm in a concussion protocol today. Listen, when we think of the Word of God today and we think of the gospel, it's the good news. It's the good news. And when someone comes up to you, I was sharing this with my wife this morning, and they say, you know what? I've got to tell you the best news ever. Our human nature kind of looks at our friends or at our relatives or our wife and goes, I can't wait to hear this. But I want to share this morning that I believe, and I'm sure you will as we go through this passage, this is really the best news ever. It's not a unique message. It's not something that God spoke specifically to PK in a new way. But I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read together some verses. We're going to start with verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Father, bless this word, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. What we have here is a church in Corinth, and there had been a time where when the gospel had originally been introduced there, the church began to rise up in really a Christian elitism. from the standpoint that they began to get away from the core gospel. This one aspect of Jesus who was crucified and then raised again, and that is truly our redemption. And what began to happen was, I'm more spiritual than you because. And what Paul wants to do is he wants to bring it back to the best news ever. This is the best news in history, is that I don't get off track. And so what he says here, he says, I want to bring it back to the focus that Jesus has risen from the dead. Many believe that bodily resurrection was not necessary because of their spirituality. Can you imagine today that there were people in that church that began to say, I'm so spiritual. Like, that's okay, I get it. He raised from the dead. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? And today, we're in a slippery place because people are beginning to say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and all that's good, but I need something else to add to that. This is the greatest news that we can focus on and anchor our hope on this truth. Focus on this truth. Our world is in desperate need today of some good news. In desperate need of some good news. Whether it's issues with social justice or racial unrest, or whether it's the pandemic, or whether it's the unemployment rate, they are in desperate need of some good news. And it's the gospel. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Today, in our headlines, death is a bigger headline than anything else. Death by this or that or another thing. It's badder than it's ever been before. But this passage, the headline that comes from this passage is this: Jesus has risen from the grave and defeated death. And in chapter 15, verse 55, I'll read this for you. He says this: O death, where's your sting? O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin and law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, this is where we want to anchor our hope. This is the ABCs. This is gospel 101. And when we say that, how many people have gone through classes? How many people remember everything you learned in school? What I learned is myself asking the question, when am I ever going to use trigonometry? Come on. When am I ever going to use that? And the danger is that this good news, this gospel, this thing that is supposed to anchor our soul, is that we begin to say, yeah, I know that was a main thing I learned, but it's not really going to get me through the day. And Paul brings them back to this. There is a great hope. And the answer anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel we live, we have to understand that the gospel is so important today because we live in a culture that is addicted to bad news. Now we would say, well, I'm not, I'm an optimist. Well, we can be an optimist, but man, we can't get away from bad news. It's everywhere. In fact, jokingly, I said to my wife was reading something, she was going, oh, look at this. And she read an article, and I'm like, great, I needed that this morning. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's not a big deal. It's just, it proves the point. So what is this good news? What is this good news? Let's look at it. And I would challenge us today as believers. I would challenge us today as ones that may have heard this. I would challenge you, if you're listening to this on the internet, and maybe you're not a believer, and maybe you're just looking because you find yourself addicted to bad news. I want you to hear this, and I want you to walk through it with me, and let's dissect this and think about this together. First of all, Christ died for our sins. And there's a phrase that Paul uses repeatedly through this passage: according to the scriptures. We didn't make this up. This is according to the scriptures. Christ died and was raised from the dead. Let's look at verse 3 and 4 again. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The early church would confess these truths. And I would ask us today, have we come to a place where we have suddenly began to not confess this truth? Over here we would say, I believe that. But in my heart, in my confession, have I stopped confessing that Jesus Christ died for my sins and was raised from the dead? See, there's a creed that Paul is coming out here, that it was according to the Scriptures. Who is it that he's speaking about here? Christ. It was Christ that died for our sins. He was the long-awaited rescuer, the promise from God. And what was it that he did? He is the who, but what is it that he did? He died and was buried and was resurrected. Fully God, fully man. And we say this, well, divinity doesn't die. You're right, but he was fully man. Well, a human can never be resurrected from dead. You're right, but he was fully God. And this aspect, and getting back to this aspect, he says here, so in his dying and raising, we can be forgiven from our sins. And the primary alienation from God is what? Our sin. And so if sin is the issue today that separates us from God, the alienation, then he remains the only rescuer for our society and for our lives today. And the thing today, church, that I want to just remind us of is this, is that the further that we drift away from the core of this good news, we begin to replace it with other things that will never fulfill and rescue us from our own sin. We strive for this bond with Jesus Christ, and yet we don't see the alienation that is created by our own flesh. And yet we try to do, well, I'm going to do this more, I'm going to do that more. And I want you to see today that he is begging. Paul is telling this church, can you see today that it's simply this, that Jesus died for us and was raised from the dead. His teaching, life and death, was fully and finally the end to the epidemic of the sin virus. There was pestilence before, and I got to tell you, I consider myself an optimist. There was pestilence before. There's going to be pestilence again. There was a virus before. There's going to be virus again. There was unrest before. There will be unrest again. But we celebrate the truth that was founded and completed 2,000 years ago, and that is that our Lord has ended the power of sin and death. And so today, as we think about this sin, let's think about this aspect of sin. Sin is what? Sin is doing bad things. I asked somebody a question. I was going to buy a gift for somebody, and I told them, I need to talk to your husband. He's a veterinarian. I would have always called you, but this was a plan. I need to talk to your husband because he's a vet. And so she says, oh, yeah, he'll love to answer it. So when I told him what I was asking, truly asking for, he goes, hey, wait, I thought preachers weren't supposed to lie. I'm like, okay, what breed of dog is the best to have for longevity? Oh, okay, I thought really you were asking for the other reason. Stick with me here, man. So what is sin? Missing the mark. Not a little bit, but completely. And which one of us has missed the mark? All of us have missed the mark. And all of us, by the way, have missed the mark completely. In this church of Corinth, there were people that said, I haven't missed it as much as that person. And we know that Jesus talked about the two that went down, the publican and the Pharisee. And they had begun to separate and say, well, I haven't missed the mark as far as that guy. But we've all, sin has separated us completely. And the problem is this. Each culture that we go through finds new ways and long overused and old related ways to sin. But the beauty of this text today is the blessing that comes, that every person has missed the mark, but by the grace of God, the answer is in this good news. So what is the task of the church today with this good news? It's to share this gospel and evangelize in preaching like we're doing this morning. The good news is to share that an unchanging news, the unchanging message of what Jesus Christ has done about death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is unchanged. When the Lord says, I am your God who changes not, guess what? The message and the truth and the answer is the same. There's an old, I don't want to stimulate any old thoughts today for anybody, but there's an old rock and roll song that was called The Song Remains the Same. Can I tell you today? The answer remains the same. It is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him resurrected from the dead, Him seated at the right hand of the Father, doing what? Interceding for us day and night. So guess what? In the middle of the times that we face, for whatever reason, when you don't know how to pray, He prays for you. That is the beauty that makes this the best news ever. One way that we can minister today is to minister to the longing in people's heart for freedom. There is a longing today in people's heart for freedom. Freedom from drugs, freedom from alcohol, freedom from authority, freedom from all these different things, freedom from bondage, from things that are unjust, freedom from all these things. So how do we address that today? We all want this freedom. And we find every stinking endeavor that we can for freedom. But you know what we find when we do it outside of this message today, these good news? Every time we look for freedom and we trial and error that way to find new freedom for myself, it puts me in a new bondage to self. This will work for me, bondage to self. You know why? Because we are not the answer for our freedom. If I shuck all the rules, I'll be free. Well, those of us we shared last night in our Bible study, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people live without restraint. But if we submit ourselves and put ourselves into a place to this message, the one who died, the one that resurrected on our behalf, what takes place? It says, based upon this truth, and Jesus was saying this in John chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. He says, and if you put yourself in bondage and align yourself with this message, guess what happens? You become free, and you're free indeed because you're set free, because you're outside of the realm of yourself. Listen, that is the message today. That is the message that doesn't change tomorrow. That is the message that CNN or Fox or any of these news channels, number one, they will never report that. But number two, it will never change, and it doesn't change the truth of it, because true and authentic truth sets us free today, and we remain free indeed. Every single generation that we have seen, we're all driven. The other area that we go to try to minister in this truth is this. Number one is the striving for freedom. Number two is this driving. We are hell-bent or heaven-bent. We are bent as cultures. We are bent for a sense of identity. Man, you don't have to look very far. And by the way, this isn't because of my age. But social media plays on this. I want to have what he has. I want to be like him. Man, he's got a better life than I do, so maybe I should make myself look better. And they thrive on this identity flexing depending on the week and the day. We need to manage, somehow feel like we need to manage the perception of who we are. And what a slavery that is. This idea that I need to have this identity so that people think better of me. But this news, the way that this news works, is that Christ has offered us only a freedom that comes from Him. And the beauty of it this today, church, is this. You want freedom? You want identity? Listen, this truth is only accepted, not earned. I don't know about you, but that makes it the best news ever for me. This truth is accepted, not earned. It is the anchor to our soul. The best news ever that I can hear is, in a world freaked out by death and lost and confusion and doubt, is the fact that Jesus Christ has paid and finished it all. Why is this so much? Why would I pin my life? I've had people say, you know, you pin your life on the story. Well, let's look at that. Let's look at that together. In this passage here, he talks about, if you look at verse 5, he says, and then he appeared to Cephas. First of all, as we said earlier, he repeatedly uses the phrase according to the scripture. So this isn't a new thing. This was talked about. Let's just say this. They've heard it before. And in the day that we live, God knows we've heard it before. But let's look at this. In verse 5, he appears to Cephas, which is Peter, and then to the 12, and after that to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of them who remained, but now some have fallen asleep, and then to James, and then he talks about himself here. So, this Christ event occurred, what? According to the scriptures. Over 300 prophecies talked about this. And so, first of all, that I remember a story quickly. I'll tell you that missionary that we have in Israel told me years and years ago. He was working in a bookstore, and he had to be very careful because of his belief in Jesus as the Messiah. And he said there was a man who came and had a bunch of books, and he was watching him. And the guy, you ever have that thing where you're watching somebody and they're watching you? And he said, I was watching this young man, and as he came to the front of the line, and he went to put his books down, and he dumped the books on the floor. So I went down to help him, thinking he had stumbled. He said, when I was down, squatted down next to him, helping him pick up his books, he whispered this, tell me about the Messiah. People who are starving for good news don't want to hear about your solution. They want to know about the Messiah. So we look at this. And so we see here that 300 prophecies fulfilled, actual historic people, friends, family, people that were around, they witnessed this, they saw it, they spoke of it, even died for it, and they believe and still believe today. It says this in 1 and 2, it's a reminder. Paul's saying here in verse 1 and 2, I am reminding you of the things that I have heard and I have received, and now I'm giving them back to you. He appeared to 500, most alive. I love the fact that he says, most remain, some have fallen asleep. You know what Paul is saying here? Go ask them. They saw it. And today we come into a shell and we go, this is a truth. I love this truth. It's my truth. It's not your naughty truth. I love my truth. And he says, go ask them. He appeared. People are being set free. Ask them. And then it says that he revealed himself to James, his half-brother, who, by the way, in the Gospels, didn't believe he was the Messiah. So he went specifically to say to James, his half-brother, and reveal himself to him. And then he says this in verse 8, and at last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Do you know what that meant? Paul says, I was crucified. I was killing the church. I was so diametrically opposed to this person called Christ. And yet, he came and appeared to me. So today, If you're listening or if you're here and you have this thing that's hidden away in the resources of your mind, you said, yeah, I know Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life, but you don't know about this. I want to tell you, Paul was crucifying and persecuting the church, and he says, even he appeared to me. Why? Because the grace of God was already at work. The best news ever is not contingent on you, because the grace of God, the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, is already at work. And so today, what should we do? How should we live? Verse 1 says, Now I make known to you this gospel. Preach the gospel. You say, well, okay, I'll do that as soon as I get my degree. No, I want you to preach the gospel with boldness. We used to say, you know, when we were in sports, we would say, we would do the whole, you know, what time is it? Game time. Say it like you mean it. Game time. Preach the gospel like you mean it. Like it's meant something to you. Like it is your only hope. Mother Teresa had this quote. She says, Jesus Christ will never be all you need until he's all you have. And praise God, today we're at a point where we're rapidly coming to a place that that's what we have, Jesus Christ. I heard recently Billy Graham that was asked at one time, he said, Billy, with all the things that are going on in our world, and this was years ago, are you an optimist or a pessimist? He said, I'm an optimist. How can you be an optimist in the midst of this? He goes, because I read the book, I know the ending, and Jesus Christ has done it all, and because of that, I win. I'm an optimist today. So we preach the gospel. And the gospel of preaching, you say, I don't know how to articulate it. Look, it comes in two forms. Number one, reminders. Reminders. Reminders, the gospel. We have nothing to fear in the midst of any of these things. Why? Because of the gospel. And if you're tempted to go, yeah, but this, the gospel that he died, he paid the price. Church, don't let circumstances take us into a place where we have to say Jesus Christ plus. And I know that James says, look, without your faith without works is dead. I understand that. I'm saying be very careful of the foundation of where it's rooted and grounded today. So we have reminders. We're anchored with confidence, and it's lived out. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would turn there quickly, and we're gonna close here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. See, there you go. There's that concussion protocol taken over. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with superiority or speech and wisdom. Check. Check. Proclaiming you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest upon the wisdom of men, but the power of God. This is the good news. This is how I share it, not with the wisdom of men. I don't have to have it all right. I have to have a foundation that's built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that it is finished. That's not just something that we say on Good Friday. That is a foundation of our good news today. And it goes on to say, if you read down about the wisdom of God in verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of glory. This hasn't changed. Verse 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord God. And then I love this. Just when you think that you have the market cornered on the gospel and the good news, and that there's nothing new, no one wants to hear this anymore, I want you to read verse 9. It says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared for him, for those who love him. Look, there is an eye out there that needs to see this message today. There is an ear out there that needs to hear the truth and the basic understanding. It's not hard to see. You did something for me that is not earned, and then I just have to receive it. There's people yearning for this today. Don't get off track. Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and it's not entered into the heart of man. That means there is one heart, there is one ear, there is one eye out there that is looking for this, and it's up to us to share this truth in simplicity this morning. And so, the second way, one is reminders, the second way is an announcement. Announcement. Look, I'm not trying to sell you anything this morning, but simply announce the freedom is true in Jesus Christ. I think Christians have fallen back, including myself. I find myself in moments of falling back and waning back, and like, I have it, and if they ask, I'll tell them. This is an announcement today. This gospel, we received it by the confession of truth by faith through grace. And Paul says here, I passed it on to you. I simply passed on to you what I received. Not something that we make up to make sense of life. Listen to me, church. This is the danger of where we live today. It's not something we make up in order to make sense of our life today. I was reminded last night of the old commercial for Alka-Seltzer. The original commercial, we all remember plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is, right? Okay. The end of that commercial, the original commercial says this. We wouldn't have created it unless we had a cure for it. We wouldn't have created it unless we had a cure for it. Now, I'm not insinuating anything about the pandemic. I'm talking about the heart of man today, the sin virus. The sin virus, the devil has created this and puts people in bondage to their own sin and their own self-worth and their own identity and their own desire for freedom. And he says there's many ways to get all these things in one fell swoop. Keep trying. Just don't look over here. Because that's true freedom. And we stand on it. The final thing is this. So we preach it. We announce it, and then we stand on it. And Paul says here that with perseverance, this becomes our hope. We don't casually accept this truth. This is what I think is so dangerous for all of us today. You can get so beat up by the circumstances around you that we just casually accept this truth. He says, no, we stand on this gospel. We stand on this gospel and we begin to see the world through the lens of this truth. Not our own lens, but the world through the lens of this truth. And what happens then? That we realize that this gospel is the thing that is saving us. It is not from us. It came from without us, from outside us, to save us from death. Listen, here's the thing I want to share just in closing. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Many desperately live trying to save themselves. I'll do this and that'll make me better. I'll do that. And by the way, this is rampant in the church. I got it. I got the Jesus part. I shared with somebody the other day and I said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And he said, okay. He was a believer. And I said, if we fix the world outside of this message, if we fix social and racial and health and economic and all those things, but we don't save a soul, we have failed to be about our Father's business. Finally, I want you to just hear this. The one thing I've noticed about this pandemic is this, is that it's ratcheted up the false hope that we can save ourselves. We can't, but God can. Paul believed that this was the best news ever in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, when he says very articulately, "Tell me this, what can separate you from the love of God?" I watched a short advertisement video the other day, and the title of the video was this: "Science Will Win." And I will tell you that science is a gift from God. Many great things that take place there. But science is a good gift, but a terrible God. And we need to reject our self-salvation plans today. Church, today, join with me and just pray and ask God to bring me back, bring you back, bring us back as a believing body to a place that we realize that Jesus Christ, that this is the best news ever. We can spin things any way we want, but at the end of the day, it will leave us and others wanting. And so today, it's a thrill to be able to ponder this and say, "You're right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Forgive me today for making it you plus. And take me to the place where I announce, I preach, I stand on this boldly today, because we live in a world that needs us." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, today we're just so thankful for all that you've done. We're thankful today, Lord, for this truth. We're thankful that it is the best news ever. There's a reason that you called it the gospel, good news. And Father, today, lead us and guide us, encourage us today, build us up in this word, bring our eyes to a place that in the longing of our heart, in the searching of our eyes, your word says that they grope as if in the dark. Lord, let us put this out here and make it the thing that as people grope for truth, that this is the thing they grab onto. The answer remains the same. It's Jesus Christ who died, was buried, and resurrected, and today sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And we thank you for that truth today. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.